Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk with Stephen Jones here in just a second. We'll get him on the line. But before we do, it does the DK Metcalf previously evidently reported the same Lions fan to Seahawks security in 2024 from Tom Pelissero. That's he adds that a source close to Metcalf said the fan who identified himself to the Detroit Free Press is called Metcalf's mother a derogatory word, and then called Metcalf something, quote, something we both know you don't call a black man. So evidently he's already had a relationship in some way, shape, or form with this this person, and he didn't speak after the game, but obviously the video shows what it does show. Right now, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers, Ford is the best in Texas. It is Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Stephen, how are we feeling today, man?
Oh, we're just grinding through it. Obviously a tough one against the Chargers, but you know, we got to get right to work. We got the Commanders coming up here Thursday on a short week.
Yeah, you know, Stephen, yesterday Jerry kind of, he said, we were just kind of discussing this. He was asked if the organization underachieved. And he pretty much said, yes, there are a lot of different areas. What area do you think the organization underachieved the most?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we set out a goal every year to win our division and, you know, get in the playoffs. And that's where we underachieved. We really felt like, you know, we had a team, had players, you know, especially down the home stretch that we could get the job done. And, you know, we came up short. And obviously, you know, this year our offense had their moments where, you know, we really looked good, you know, for the most part. But, you know, hadn't been consistent, didn't protect the ball as well as we would have liked. If you look at it as a whole up and through, you know, 15 games. And I'd have to say that's where that is. Obviously, the big disappointment's been our defense. And, you know, we just hadn't been able to, you know, get an identity and do the things that we need to do to win football games and consequently put a lot of pressure on the offense. But and then on special teams, I'd say we're, you know, adequate at best. We hadn't been able to get turf loose, so. You know, just as a whole, we hadn't made the plays and done the things we need to do, you know, to win the games it takes to get win a division and get in the playoffs.
When we've been discussing Eberflus and where things stand with him. I'm always curious, how do you weigh continuity versus talent and coaching as this thing goes along? Does continuity carry a lot of weight for you?
I think it's a full body of work. You measure everything. And certainly that's what we'll do at the end of the year. We'll take a look at the, at everything, whether it's personnel, whether it's, the coaching, whether it's continuity and what that would play going forward. Obviously, with three changes in 3 years and not having the type of results we've wanted the last couple of years, we've just got to take the full body of work in. We'll certainly do that when this season's over.
Also, this is kind of a philosophy thing. Sometimes hires are made for established success in the past, and then sometimes fresh ideas are necessary. Does that go back and forth, or is there one you prefer over the other?
Yeah, I think, it's everything. I go back, I'm overusing the term full body of work, but you've got to look at everything. I think, one of the more important things for us, too, in this age of, when you get players and you pay players, you have those players, you also got to customize the defense to your, to your most talented guys. Certainly, we put a lot of resources into our defensive line. We've got a young up-and-coming player in Easy that, we really think, has a bright future. Obviously, we love Overshown. It's unfortunate there. He had a concussion playing hard and competing, and, going to be probably hard for him to play on a short week, hard for him to get through the protocol. But, that plays a big role, too. It's just making sure that, we're running the scheme that complements our players' skill sets the best, because there's no question we have some pieces in place, but we also have to utilize, those guys to the best of their skills and got to come up with the right system that fits what they do best.
Steven, how do you think Trayvon Diggs looked in his return to the lineup? And you mentioned in the process of him ramping back up, you needed to see the right things in practice and whatnot. What did you think that you saw last week that led to him getting activated again?
Well, the biggest thing is he gave himself a chance with, making sure, that he was, in all the meetings, in all the practices, making everything 100% attendance. A lot of it had been, with his injuries and stuff, he wasn't able to make some practices. And, that happens during the course of a season. He's not the only one who's had that happen, but we really think he plays his best when he's, able to practice day in and day out, and he was able to do that. And, he hadn't played football, in 7-8 weeks. So certainly you're going to have to knock the rust off when you come back. But hopefully he'll have another great short week here, and we'll only get better.
Did the Deron Bland injury play any factor in activating him, or did you just see enough and decide it was time to pull the trigger?
I think it was time. He deserved the right to get out there and play. And he's obviously a talented guy who's had some great years in the NFL. And, I think he did everything the right way last week and, met the standard that Coach Schottenheimer and the defensive staff expect. And I think he deserved to be up. And certainly, obviously, not having Bland and Carson played that was not helpful either in terms of not having those guys out there. But, I think he deserved to come up and play, and I think he'll have another good week of practice, and hopefully he'll knock a little rust off and continue to improve.
A lot of discussion right now, Steven, about Tyler Smith playing left tackle out there. And I'm just kind of curious because there's some back and forth on, hey, should we go ahead and move him out to left tackle in that discussion? Is that even a thought for you guys, or is that just a, hey, we had to do something to protect Dak this week?
Well, we had to protect Dak. Obviously, we were going against one of the top defenses in the league, and they get great pressure. And, Nate Thomas is a young guy who has a bright future for us. And certainly we'll, probably get Tyler Guyton back. If not this year, he'll be ready to go next year. And he was really coming on strong. So, what we'll do is, as we always do in the offensive line, is to put the best five players out there. Certainly Tyler Smith stepped up in a big way. He never blinked. And I thought played a hell of a job out there at left tackle.
against the Chargers.
But as far as going forward and for his career, you see him as an all-pro left guard?
You know, we just that'll be something we evaluate. It'll be, you know, as into every year you look at what's going to make you the very best football team. You know, right, obviously he's an all-pro left guard that, you know, certainly we wanted to keep around and paid him to be the best in the business. And certainly he's showing what else makes you very valuable on a football team is his versatility. And obviously played left tackle in college. He's played left tackle before. And it's great to have a guy like that who's got that kind of versatility.
Stephen Jones joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. I do want to go back to Matt Eberflus just a little bit because he did move up to the coach's box for this game and called plays from there. What difference do you see when a coach starts calling plays from the aerial view as opposed to the sideline? Do you notice any difference? Is it just a personal preference thing to you?
A lot of times it's a personal preference. I'd say more times than not. I've had coaches over the years. We've had coaches that like to be down on the sideline. We've also had them that like to call from the box because you see more. I think obviously we're experimenting there a little bit to see, you know, especially with our struggles on defense, is there maybe a better way that, you know, for Coach Eberflus, he and Shotty talked about it and thought that would be a good move. I'm sure they'll figure out what's best for this week and we'll go from there.
It was you got two firsts, but then you also have a bit of a hole in the next couple of rounds. Do you feel like you're going to need to go out and add some draft capital in order to fill the variety of needs on your defense that you need?
You know, we'll just see how the draft falls. That's obviously, you know, as we do our work and we start to work on our board and see where we think, you know, some of the better parts of the draft are to be, then you know, you can certainly do some maneuvering around, you know, to if you want to move down in the first, obviously your most values are those first round picks, and you can end up with a, you know, a later first and a second and a third, or a later first and a second and fourth. I mean, there's a lot of ways to maneuver, and certainly as we start to strategize and get our board up and see what we think, you know, we really need to do is, as we move forward, we'll certainly certainly challenge ourselves to do everything we can to get our picks in the best spot, to get the best players we can to make us better.
And, you know, Steven, I know we talked a little bit about Easy a little bit, but it was evident yesterday that the pass rush was a struggle. Do you feel like you're in a better position having added Quinn in and those tackles in the middle? Do you feel like you're in a better position to add a pass rusher in the offseason?
Sure. I think, you know, obviously that's something we'll look at. We'll look at the whole thing there in terms of, you know, how we're going about getting pressure. There's lots of ways to get pressure. You know, look around the league and, you know, some people do it with, you know, like the team we played the week before, Minnesota Forest, goes about it in a different way. We'll certainly see what complements our defense and the players we have and the players we think we might could add to make us better going forward. We'll take a long, hard look at that.
Stephen, Jerry was asked after the game yesterday about the 30-year Super Bowl drought, and he said, "I'll admit that the Cowboys management has played a big role." And he said, "I'm very disappointed in the way we're structured, and my role puts us here tonight. I'm tremendously disappointed." What's your point of view on management's role and the structure of this team?
I think everybody gets, plays the role in the results, and whether that's ownership, whether that's management, everybody has a hand in it, and we certainly certainly take responsibility as much as we would you know, coaching or players or anybody. And you know, we feel at the end of the day it starts at the top, and that's Jerry and myself, and we take that responsibility.
I know yesterday also there was conversation, the Cowboys, and he said the Cowboys might, in the near next year future, Cowboys might play in Mexico. Would you welcome a game across the border?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what, you know, obviously it's a big initiative of the league is to grow globally. You know, we hadn't used our home game yet. We certainly, at some point, you know, we have to take our turn doing that. We hadn't been the visiting team because, most teams protect us and keep us, you know, they want us playing at their home stadium. So we haven't been able to go as a visiting team, but we're certainly on the docket to go in the next year or two as the home team. And, you know, as part of that, you never know, there may be a situation where we go as a visiting 1 year and a home team the next.
And on the topic of cool and interesting types of games, you guys are playing on Christmas Day. But what's your feelings about getting another holiday that's just going to have Dallas Cowboys football stamped on it? And are you looking forward to getting another holiday, spending it with the family, watching the boys play?
Well, certainly those are certainly opportunities to go out and one, play well. You know, we're going to be going against somebody who's we're close to in Dan Quinn, but anytime you gear up and you go against an SC East team, long-time rival in the Washington Commanders, you welcome that opportunity. And I know our guys, you know, want to finish the season strong. We'd like to finish, you know, not have that losing season, and we have the opportunity there in front of us. We've got to go. Starts against Washington and Dan Quinn. We know, you know, how much a win means to him as well. So it'll be big. It'll be big, you know, that it's on Christmas Day. People will be, you know, after they have their Christmas time, will be watching games. And we feel fortunate to be a part of it.
You expect to see Dak out there for this one as well?
Absolutely. You know, our goal is to win the football game. What we focus on all week is the Washington Commanders and winning this football game. As I said, but you know, our goal is to finish strong, and you know, we got a chance to finish at 500 and avoid a losing season. And I know, you know, that's what we all as an organization would like to get accomplished.
Well, Stephen, we really appreciate your time. Wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up with you next week. Good sir.
Merry Christmas to you guys as well. Take care.
There goes Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, text on in. Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes next on The Fan.
The Expressway on the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the on-time experts.
Prescott, three-step drop, standing, looking, deep ball, end zone, Pickens caught it over the shoulder. Touchdown, Cowboys. There's a good throw by Prescott.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for the Lunch Rush, the Expressway, ladies and gentlemen. And we got Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes coming up. You can text them in 877-881-1053. Thank you and no thank you notes. And then also, the Christmas tradition you look forward to the most. We'll do that in the Expressway here in just a few moments. I think there's, like, my life has changed a lot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
As divorce and all those things happened, all the things that I had as a childhood.
What happened to Adrian?
No.
Oh.
She would have to leave me, all right?
She already did a couple times, right?
She did. Yeah. It's tough. She came back, fortunately. I was very lucky there.
That's nice.
But with all the different changes in life, creating new ways, new traditions has been kind of fun. But what is your favorite Christmas tradition as we are only a few days away here? 877-881-1053. Cowboys thank you and no thank you notes. I think I'll start this thing off with thank you to George Pickens for reestablishing himself as that dude. 130 yards on 7 catches and a touchdown. He's, a lot of people this year kept talking about how much of a deep threat he was. And they kept saying, oh, he's a deep threat. But nobody talked about all the other things that he could do well. And I think what he's done this season is prove that he's more than just a deep threat, and he's got so much more in his bag, and that's going to get him paid by somebody, whether it's the Cowboys or whether it's somebody else. It's going to get him paid for sure, but it was nice to see him doing his thing again out there on Sunday.
Yeah, and I keep going back to whenever CeeDee Lamb got hurt. You never want your star wide receiver, big money wide receiver, to get hurt, but that experience of being the dude in this offense compared to Pittsburgh's was invaluable to his development. And, that's stuff that he already had. They just hadn't unlocked yet. Pittsburgh hadn't unlocked it yet because they didn't need him to or just didn't want him to. And then early on here in Dallas, they didn't need him to because they had CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. And whenever you talk about intermediate and over the middle routes and stuff, they were trying to integrate Kevontae Turpin as that third wide receiver, Ryan Flannoy getting some of those looks as well. Going back to last year, Jalen Tolbert was getting a lot of that stuff, the shorter, more intermediate stuff. And you kind of get lost that this guy's just a really good pass catcher. He's not just a vertical guy, and whenever you ask him to move around the field because you are that guy, all of a sudden, you blink, your running mate is gone, you have to be that guy. It took a couple weeks, but he showed that he's comfortable moving around. And now that you can move him around and ask him to do layers of things per drive, not even just per game, it's like drive by drive. You can go really situational with him now. And he's taken that role and he's hit it head on. He seems like he enjoys it. He seems pretty checked in on most plays, even when the ball isn't going his way. You might have a bad game where he's kind of slacking a little bit, but that's just a wide receiver that likes to get the football. Everybody does it. You're talking about DJ Moore. He's a solid veteran wide receiver, but he'll take a few plays off mm-hmm. because he knows it's not even going to my side of the field. It's okay. But George Pickens has added so much to his game this season in terms of I can be an over-the-middle guy. I can be an intermediate guy on the comeback route and stuff like that. I can move the chains for you, on a pitch and catch, which you saw a couple times yesterday. He's gotten 3D in his game. He's gotten more dimensional. And I think that's something that if you keep him around, which I expect them to do, especially the continuity of having the same play caller, they're only going to expand on that. Mm-hmm. So it excites me. It really does. But in a short sample size here and, through most of the NFL season, his first year here, he's learned a lot.
Yeah, it seemed like early in the year and even in training camp, it was like deep threat. We got CeeDee Lamb. Why would we even think about any of these other routes for him? Let's just use him as, if not a decoy, as a single coverage throw him over the top guy.
Sure.
And you're right, as CeeDee Lamb's injury happened, that opened up more for him. They said, okay, we got the whole route tree, what can we do? And he was like, I can do all of them. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let's see what you're dominant at. And he was like, this slant, this deep ball, I can do a lot of different things. So that's a positive there. Are we done with the Kevontae Turpin's the third receiver on this team? I am. I've been that way for a while, though. Flannoy, for me, I think I'd love, obviously, the injury stunk yesterday.
Yeah.
No thank you to concussions. But, like, Flannoy's proven to me that I can rely on him as a third receiver. He's, like, in the mind of, oh, Cedric Wilson. Remember how great it was to have him? He was, like, the fourth, though, I think, on that group. But it was nice to have him around. I feel like I look at the two options, and I know that Turpin can bust one wide open. That's few and far between, and I just don't think he's at the same level as some of these other guys.
I think I'm kind of over it at this point. And I know that there was conversation about, is his expanded role as a receiver maybe playing into special teams aspect and vice versa, maybe doing all the special teams work is just kind of gassing him early on and he's not as effective because you're asking him to do literally everything on the face of the planet Earth in terms of carrying the football. I think I'm ready to commit to him in one role. I could see sub packages where he comes in on a third and short, you know, on a jet sweep or something where you think you have the absolute best look against you defensively to run something outside zone. I don't want to see him as a full-time receiver. Either that or you say, we know you're all pro once. We're going to make you a receiver, not a kick returner. You have to make a decision because I just think we can talk about his frame and everything. Yes, he's a small guy. It's National Short People Day. Remember that. So shout out to me and Cavante. We're celebrating hard today. But you can point to that, but it's true. Like, he's just not built for that workload, and that's okay. Tell him what his job is. Don't tell him everything. Tell him what his job is. Yeah.
These are the things that you are assigned to do, and this is going to be it. All right, let's roll out some of these here from the fan text. Thank you to the veteran leadership on the Cowboys realizing in halftime that you needed to lose to the Chargers to get a better draft pick, so they took their foot off the gas and tanked. I think they just were outmanned. They had a better team against them. From the 817, thank you to the Cowboys for being the only team to have 8 wins, 8 losses, and a tie. It will never be done again in history.
Ooh.
I think it can be done again in history.
It can.
But you're right. This is as Cowboys as it gets. How many times did I say during the offseason, middle of the pack? 8-8-1 would be exactly middle of the pack, and that's what they're aiming for right now.
Yeah, on National Math Day, it's mathematically possible for that to happen again. I like this idea that no team other than the Cowboys is capable of doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of with it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I know the math doesn't make sense, but hey, Kevin's not here. I can change the rules.
From the 469, thank you, Cowboys offense, for providing thorough, high-powered, efficient entertainment and hope surrounding a season where averaging 30 points. A game isn't enough because the defense gives up 40 a game, reminding everyone that defense is important. And then if you try hard enough, you can be a Cincinnati and Dallas. So they're that was a roller coaster of emotions for me. Yeah, that really was. And look, man, that is exactly what it was. Cincinnati was like, we'll just go out and score everybody. And the Cowboys, I don't think they were like, we're just going to go out and score everybody. But they thought, they really legitimately thought, and Steven even said this with us, and we even talked about it, too. If you can be good defensively, mediocre is all we're shooting for, the offense can put you in a position well enough to win. Now, unfortunately, you couldn't be mediocre. And even when you were mediocre, the coach was like, I don't know if they are or not. So they were poor, and they gave up lots of points. And that's not going to be a recipe for success. And the Cowboys have to answer that call. They have to figure out how to add to this team. No thank you to the Cowboys' defense and pass rush. No quarterback had been touched. I'm sorry. No quarterback had been sacked more times than Justin Herbert going into this game. Geno Smith and who was the other one? It was Geno Smith and Cam Ward. Were tied with him at 49 sacks.
Makes sense.
Nobody else had been sacked more because that offensive line has struggled so much this year. They've had so many injuries and problems there, and the Cowboys could not put a sack on him. And that is tough.
Yeah, think about that one for a second. That was the most disappointing thing was we went into the week talking about injuries aside, that offensive line just stinks. They are not good, and that was the Cowboys' win because it felt like for everybody on Friday was this offensive line can get got, and they can get got pretty easily. And now, granted, I will say I expected, not by any information, I just thought Quinnen Williams would be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, five-man front against a struggling offensive line. Booyah. That's going to work. And they're going to get home at an incredible rate, whether it's the guys you expect, or maybe this is the Donovan Ezeraku rookie legacy game where he just goes against a bad matchup offensively and he takes advantage of it. I was like, this is going to work great with the five-man defensive front. They did nothing.
Mm.
They did zero. Like, Donovan Ezeraku himself, Jadeveon Clowney, like, the people I expected to at least break free a couple times could not get home. I will say, I'll give Osa some credit. I felt like he did a good job pushing the pocket. I did think he did get held a couple times as well, which was unfortunate that they didn't call. I'm not trying to blame the refs for anything, but he did do some good work that's not going to show up in the box score. Outside of that, I did not watch any of the defensive line and say, oh, they're doing something.
Mm.
And that's where, for me, it goes back to coaching. Like, I know the defensive line coach, Aaron Whitecotton, is great, and I think he's really good at what he does. And I think he's a great communicator, but I think it all goes down to everybody being on the same page, everybody working as one, which is a structural thing.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, on the back half, your defensive front needs to get the pressure, right? But on the back half, if the coverage isn't good enough to create a second for the pressure to get there.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you listened to Brad Sham yesterday many, many times. Justin Herbert drops back, no pressure at all. You know, like, and he has all the time in the world. One time it was this year. I wish I could remember which game it was. He said, so-and-so drops back, takes out a mortgage. And I was like, good. You know how hard it is? How long of a process that is? That's how much time he was suggesting that he had back there. So, yes, it is the combination of what you can do with your linebackers, your secondary, being able to hold up a little bit. And also that, I'm still trying to figure out where I stand on Revel. It's rookie season, off injury. There are things that I'm like, man, he doesn't have blazing speed, but he's tough. And I like that quality about him. I'm going to need a full offseason to see, you know, what all he's about. And obviously, he's going to potentially have another defensive coordinator to learn from and try and work with there. So they got to figure out what he is. And that might be another thing. It might be very important to get a lot of these guys on film for whoever the next defensive coordinator is to come in and say, all right, I see what these guys can and can't do in this defensive scheme, but I'm going to be able to use this a little bit better. From the 469, Cowboys, thank you notes. I was in the championship in fantasy and losing. I dropped Dak to boost morale of my team and came back to win it all. That's not how fantasy football works. That isn't how that works at all.
Like,
I do love the idea, though, that I've given my team a speech. I wake up on Sunday morning and I pull up my fantasy roster and I'll give them a little speech and I'll be like, look, LaDainian Tomlinson did this for me 10 years ago. Now it's time for you to step, you know. And I feel like they hear me. Jacob agrees with me. Alec doesn't, but Jacob, you feel like you agree with me on this.
I picked up Tom Brady and Sleeper to give my team a winning mentality, so.
just to add that idea, that concept.
Yeah, I mean, you could pick up Tebow, you can pick up Tom. I mean, whatever you need for your team. I mean, just go pick up a retired vet and add it to your team to boost morale. That's the winning formula.
From the 903, thank you to Trevor Lawrence for beating Denver. From the 817, no thank you to the blocking on special teams. It was absolutely horrible.
And that was something that Steven mentioned, too. He said special teams has been adequate at best. I want to know if any conversation happens in the offseason about is Sorensen actually good at this or what? Because you saw Bones Fossil, you never really got complaints about the not-so-flashy stuff like the blocking and whatnot. The X's and O's of it was great. It was just some of the trickery and whatnot would annoy you here and there. But with Sorensen, it feels like they do nothing, like, awful, but they do nothing good either on special teams outside of the fake to Aubrey. That was awesome a week ago. But other than that, it's like they
play special teams.
They exist. They exist. And CJ Goodwin once upon a time was a special teams ace. Under this group of leadership, he looks like a guy who plays special teams.
From the 817, thank you to Jake Paul's jaw. You are who we thought you were. We'll get into some more Jake Paul here in just a little bit for sure. We'll have a little conversation about that. Alec had some great takes on that. We'll do that at 120 here. from the 903. Thank you to Brad Sham for your Brad Shamming. Yeah, no, he does his thing, man. From the 214, and I think you're right. Herbert did his thing. Got to give him credit. They could be the AFC one seed, which is scary.
Cool.
That is a possibility, I believe. They have been, somebody said that this morning, quietly winning games.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he showed, I think, his toughness, which we, you know, I don't think the league sees or respects it enough. Dude's played a lot of football for the Chargers, and he's battled through injuries. Yesterday, I know he had a little blood. He needed a little Band-Aid on his elbow. But then the whole fact that he, like, went into a tackle with a helmet on his hand that's broken.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. But he showed, hey, I'm willing to go do these tough things. I'm playing through a broken hand. I'm doing that. And that team just consistently, like, we've been kind of, oh, the Chargers exist, but we don't really know what they are. They do just enough to win. And that presents a tough out whenever they play the way that they've been playing, and they can pick up those wins, and they have a tough quarterback, good leadership there too, even despite all the injuries they've had across the board.
You know what's weird? And I started thinking about this, especially watching them against the Cowboys, but I've really thought this throughout the year. The Chargers are the most AFC North team that's not in the AFC North. Like, they just win in the most unimpressive ways. They figure it out. They just find a way. Whether it's their 6'6", 240-pound quarterback, you know, with a broken, surgically repaired hand, just running into people and saying, nah, I'm good. And watch how little pass roughing the passer calls he gets and stuff. And Drew Brees talked about on the TV copy. He's like, I wonder if sometimes the refs see how big of a human he is, and they're like, that doesn't hurt. You know, whenever he does get driven to the ground, like, nah, he's fine. And he doesn't complain a lot either. He just kind of bounces back up and gets ready to go under center again.
Yeah.
But
that play where he looked like he broke his hand, he was smiling.
Yeah. Like, he loves this stuff, and that's the epitome of their team. That's a Harbaugh football team right there. That is any part of the lineage. That is a Harbaugh football team where they will break a bone and smile and say, let me keep playing. That's how I feel about their defense specifically this year with Jesse Minter is – they don't do anything that amazes you that's going to be on SportsCenter top 10. They don't have highlight plays. I was talking about it with Kevin on Friday, Corey, that Deion Henley is one of the best defensive players in football that nobody talks about at the linebacker position for the Chargers. That is just a gritty team that says, yeah, we show up, we kick ass, and we go home. It just might not be a 14-point win differential. It might be 3. It might be 6. Like, we're going to find the weird ways to win. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And we're going to sneak our way into the playoffs and annoy some people.
Chris Marinelli, have you heard that name before?
I've heard the name.
Chris Marinelli played for Harbaugh at Stanford.
Yeah.
And he said that before the game, according to the newspaper, he expressed how much he wished he could play on the field beside them and that he wanted their blood on him if they happened to bleed during the game.
Oh.
Chris Marinelli said that the game started and came to a sideline following a touchdown drive with his arm bleeding. He showed the arm to Harbaugh, who wiped Marinelli's arm with his hand and then smeared it on his face.
What?
And Harbaugh, standing on the sideline with the offensive line jacked up, screaming, yelling, jumping around with blood smeared on his face. You're talking about, this is how, like, watching Justin Herbert bounce up and play that style. That's the kind of psychopath his coach is. So he's got this cult mentality of, hey, we smear blood on our faces, boys. That's the kind of dude he is.
I respect it in a weird way, but at some point you have to go, this mentality is weird. Your blood, my face, sounds pretty cool. That doesn't make any sense. That's got to be a HIPAA violation, right?
Seems like it, or it just seems dangerous. It seems dangerous, but I guess he was like, you know what? I don't care. I want to live this life. This is the lifestyle I have chosen, as Jerry Jones likes to tell us, even though, like, that's a different mentality, dude. That is a completely different mentality. Also, I do think that Alec may have won Masterpiece of the Week for Friday with his whole Your Blood situation and his face. So we'll see how that goes. Guys, let's...
I didn't think that one through.
877-881-1053. Thank you and no thank you notes from the 214. Thank you for giving us a reason to say next year. I feel like it's becoming, for me, I've spent so much time being an optimistic Cowboys fan. This year was very tough for me because I didn't see the progress I wanted to see to make the team better. I saw the progress that I needed to see for a first-year head coach. So, okay, all right, we're going to come into this season and we're going to give him just enough and then see what we need from there. That's what this season felt like, was going into it, we're going to give him just enough, and then if we need something, we'll add to it. Well, then, as things went along, you saw that there was not nearly enough on the defensive side. Offense looks pretty okay. How long can you keep that up? I'm very curious about Javonte Williams' future as well. We'll see how that goes along. But I didn't feel like they said, we're going to give him every asset and every tool he needs. So for the mindset, and I'm sure, I feel like that person's a little sarcastic in the thank you for giving us the chance to say next year. Dak saying, hey, we're going to catch momentum for next year. No, man, this year was the year.
Yeah.
Now that's done. We'll get to next year, but dadgum. And that's where my mind is right now, is I have a hard time going, I'm getting excited for next year now. I know Broaddus is, dude, him and Wolchuk are going to find the best candidates you could ever think of for this draft. And the Cowboys might take one. They might be able to pick up one of those guys. But right now, in this mindset of there's always next year, I've said it so many times and believed it, and I don't anymore. And that's rough, being the kind of Cowboys fan I've been my whole life.
And I don't think I've ever thought about it that way, but it opens up a unique perspective for me, because you were around to see some level of success and repeated success. My entire life has been, I'm excited for next year. Because this team does hang around the rim so much, and they are pretty good at evaluating talent. you know, when it comes to the draft and the few and far between big moves that they make, it seems like they pay off. You know, like Amari Cooper was a great addition. You talk about George Pickens this year. They have the propensity to do those things. They just often choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So my entire existence as a Cowboys fan at 24 years old has been, okay, but there's something to look forward to next year. So I've just gotten so numb to it to where I don't even think about it like that. But hearing you say that, because you have seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
You have seen a Lombardi trophy that's not the one sitting at the star that's 30 years old. You know, you have actually seen this stuff when it's fresh. For me, I've never known what that's like.
I experienced the apex.
Yeah.
And that was also a jacket that that was worn on the side, the Apex jacket that they
Those
used to wear,
so
too.
Cool.
Yeah, that and the starters, they were awesome. I experienced that. And that's why, like, I feel bad for every Cowboys fan that doesn't have that experience, because it was glorious. It was awesome. From the 972, I'm 60. There is no next year for the Cowboys. When will people learn? That is, you know, there's this, I think, like, I look at the Mavericks when Dirk was there, and you were always feeling like you were building to something with him. Look, we're doing it for him. We're doing this for Dirk, at least. If nothing else, I did, at one point, I resigned myself and I said, you know what? I'm done trying to get him a championship. I'm just going to enjoy watching greatness night in and night out. And I did. I watched every single game Dirk played and was like, dude, that was so much fun. And then he got a championship. And I was like, holy crap. Like, That was what we've been trying to get to. The best part was all those nights that I spent watching him do his thing and being, you know, just such an efficient German. That's what the Germans are known for. Flula tells me that all the time.
That's right.
Efficiency. And so it was really fun. But then all out of nowhere, the championship came along with the Rangers. I was like, holy crap, we just built something that could be special next year, and they jumped up and did it out of nowhere on us like that.
Yeah.
And so, but with the Rangers, I was also resigned to, we're going to be a farm system for the Yankees for the rest of my life, and that's just how it is. When in actuality, Chris Young came in here and said, hey, I'm gonna put my foot down and say that we're going to go win one, and they did it. But with the Cowboys right now, I'm just kind of in this weird place where I'm hopeful. It'd be awesome. My expectations are, it takes a smear your blood on me mentality, and I just haven't quite seen that happen yet. And until that happens, I just can't believe. Mike McDaniels has declined to comment on a report that he's likely to return as the Dolphins head coach. So he's like, hey, look, man, I told you exactly what I'm doing. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it where it is. My focus is making sure I'm getting this team prepared each week, getting that thing rolling. And then Joe Burrow said, I'm having fun playing football. This is why you do it. So after being very depressed-ish, not knowing whether or not he was having fun playing football, he's back, baby. So Joe Burrow throwing lots of touchdowns. Not all of them to Ja'Marr Chase, though. Some of them went to T. Higgins and other people as well.
That actually sounds like a fantasy implications right
Chase
there.
Chase Brown did hook it up yesterday.
That's why he mentioned Joe
Chase,
Burrow.
Yeah, Chase Brown. Well, I was playing against Joe Burrow, so that kind of stunk, too. But it was a good day for him. All right, 877-881-1053. It is that time of year. And you know what? We are more than just a sports station. We are a entertainment radio station for your ears holes. We just happen to
be ears holes.
Look, I said big earlier today, so who knows what that means. But, you know, we
something at IKEA.
Talk about a lot of the other things that we do in life, too. And that's one of the things that's made this station so awesome. Thank you to the Tolos who check in every single day and say, you know what? I like this station no matter what. Whether y'all are talking about mowing a parking garage or flying to the moon, I enjoy what y'all talk about, and that's part of the fun thing. So I wanted to ask, the Christmas tradition you look forward to the most. There are a lot of families are different. Everybody has a different tradition that's kind of theirs. And as kids, I always looked forward to going to both grandparents' house. One, they had one of those doors on the wall. It was a closet, and if you pushed it, you went to the other room. And I just loved the idea that I could sneak into other rooms that way, and it was
That's
a blast.
So cool.
And then they stuck the Christmas tree there one year, so I couldn't. And I was like, dadgum, why'd y'all do that to me?
That's lame.
But then I also, my other grandparents, like, they had the fake chimney that was made out of paper mache, and they bring that out. And I loved it. But I always loved being around the grandparents. Well, grandparents passed away. and our families all kind of broke in different directions. Now we have new traditions, and I've been taking more efforts on the Elf on a Shelf. I've been taking part in that. The wife's been out a lot, so I've been that's been my responsibility, and it's that's been a lot of fun. But as we're creating new traditions, we started doing with our five, me and my wife and the three kids, we started doing Secret Santa amongst us.
Ooh.
So everybody picks somebody and they got to go shop for them. And I really like that because it allows me to get kind of personal with that one person and find something that I really think is going to make them smile and not have to worry about the stress of getting everybody else something. It's just one thing. And it's very intimate with the family. So I really like that a lot. That's a new tradition that we started that I'm liking.
I like all of those, and it's a little bit different for me now because I'm at 24, so I'm kind of developing my own. Because a lot of these have changed because, you know, the parents split up whenever you're in high school, so half of them essentially go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just me and my dad the first couple years, so it's like, okay, how can we make this still feel fun? But growing up for me, whenever I was little, my favorite thing was the week of Christmas, right when you get into that actual week that Christmas falls in, we would get in the kitchen and we would make homemade fudge, chocolate fudge. That was always my favorite part. The cookies for Santa was fun and everything. The fudge was for me and my sister. You know, we actually got to consume that treat. So I was looking forward to that every single time. I have a funny one that we still do no matter where Christmas is, because the past few years it's kind of rotated through different people's houses. It used to always be at my grandparents'. Every year we would end the night at the grandparents and do the family, the big family. We would do just the in-house family in the morning when we wake up as kids and everything. But we would go to grandparents' house at like 4 o'clock, have dinner, and then we would open gifts and watch whatever sports were on or whatever. And my dad started this when he was a teenager, and I do it everywhere I go now. If you have the word Noel spelt out in like individual block letters somewhere, he goes and he flips it to say Leon and doesn't tell anybody. So I got that from him because I am my dad's son. So anytime I go to any family member or friend's house where they have an actual like block letter spelling of Noel, I go and flip it to say Leon and see how long it takes people to notice.
Yeah.
Because I've had a couple times where it's been hours and somebody's like, who did that? And then maybe it's like 5 minutes where it's like, Medford, you're not slick. We know your game. Because I'm just, I got to disrupt the energy every now and then. I'm chaotic.
Yeah.
You know, I always say the C is my middle initial. It stands for chaos. I got to go and have my fun too. You know, holidays are cool and everything, but I got to have my fun. I got to get my jokes off. You know, I'm a prankster. So I stole that one from my dad. I can't claim it, but I do it everywhere I go now. And it is the most fun and self-gratifying thing because it gets a couple laughs out of people, but for me I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I cut the middle out of cakes and pies, and that just ticks people off. And
So you suck.
Yeah, okay. I'm that person for sure. From the 254, Mexican food and good bourbon at the brother-in-law's every Christmas Eve. That's from Walt in Waco. Hot chocolate from Scratch in the NBA games. Skeet shooting from the 817. I've always wanted to go to a family that's like the Addams Family, where you're like, hey, why is Uncle Rob out there and they got a baby throwing axes at him? And they're just like, oh, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. I've always wanted to like be at one of those family gatherings. That would be really cool.
I would want to stay far away from that.
I get it, because you're scared.
I don't want to see a baby with an axe. that
what if they're
going to
throw the axe, though? Then you're going to have a video that's going to go viral on TikTok.
But that scares me even more.
Jacob's over there shaking his head yes.
No, Jacob, because if you see a baby throwing an axe and you're like, damn, that baby is pretty good at axe throwing, I'm not running towards it. I'm not staying to watch. I am getting the
video
F out
the
of there.
I'm gonna go tackle it. It's a baby, Alec.
I mean, what's a baby gonna do to
you? How hard can you throw the axe? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but just knock that sucker out of the way.
I don't even have a rebuttal.
From the 817, eating tamales at my grandma's house, but now since she's gone, we do Whataburger on Christmas Eve. That's a smart decision right
You know
there.
What?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like that one too. From the 972, grandmother passed away Christmas morning in 2019. Our tradition is mom, sister, and I kill a bottle of rum chata peppermint bark at breakfast. Dude, Do you pour it in coffee, or do y'all just like pass the bottle around and three bubble it?
I feel like they pass the bottle around. In my mind, that's what I saw at like 8 a.m. You're setting the tone early. I mean, it's a holiday anyways. You spend it how you want. I respect it.
315 is requesting your fudge recipe.
Ooh, I need to see if I still have it.
Jacob, do you have a favorite Christmas holiday tradition?
You know, the NBA one was really good before the NBA got boring. But I mean, growing up in Chicago, we were never really too close to family. We still really aren't. So it's usually just me, my dad, my twin sister, my mother. But we always do, usually when we put up the Christmas tree, we always watch Christmas Vacation while putting that up because that's a, you know, Chicago-based movie. Great movie. But I would say our best Christmas Day tradition is we always meet in my parents' room and we get the Bible out and read the Christmas story straight out of the book.
Wow.
Before any presents are touched.
The three wise men and everything, huh?
Everything, yep.
Wow.
The old story.
And
so
the four fathers.
Which is crazy because as kids, we used to, like, my sister and I would take turns reading it every year. That story, I mean, there were years that took like 30 minutes because we just couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long wait. It was a long wait.
Dad's over there kind of like, I could nod off for just a little bit.
Yeah, right.
You know, get a little extra sleep.
But yeah, now we do that, and then open presents. We have tamales every Christmas Eve. Yeah. That's turned into a fun tradition since we moved down to Texas. But and obviously some church before. Then we're going to the 6 p.m. church service this Christmas Eve. So it's usually church, then tamales, and Christmas morning. So pretty simple.
That is, dude, it's a fun time of year. It can also be a very lonely time of year. I know that for sure. There are lots of options out there for you. Kevin talks about that very frequently. It can be an absolute best. It can be very difficult. I know whenever I moved out on my own, life had changed so much, and I felt very alone because I didn't know where my family was. It was kind of a weird place that we were all in, but fortunately, you know what? One thing about that is you always can find some family somewhere. And I think there's lots of different avenues. Reach out, say hello, and see if you can build a relationship as you go along. Thank you very much for taking part in that, fellas. Coming up next, it is the C Block. Corey, where are we going? Hits and misses, ladies and gentlemen. Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.